The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Now, there was a bit of talk about the possibility of having the electric picnic this year during the week, but I think live music seems a very long way off in Ireland right now. But there are plans to hold summer festivals in the UK this summer, and I think there's a lot of discussion going on around that about whether the people attending will have to be vaccinated or not, or how will they manage it. Now, someone who knows a thing or two about music festivals is BBC presenter Edith Bowman, who has hosted BBC's coverage for countless Glastonbury's. Edith, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not bad, you know. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Absolutely. Now, listen, Edith, there's no Glastonbury this year, but there are other festivals in the UK, like selling tickets. There seems to be issues around insurance and stuff, but there are going to be festivals in the UK this summer, is there?
I think there will be at some point. When that is, I have no idea. And I know that there's things like Reading and Leeds are selling tickets. That's the bank holiday weekend in August, which doesn't seem that far away. No one really knows if they're going to go ahead or not. Obviously, they're selling tickets, but it's a 50-50, I think, still at the minute, because no one's really set in stone what the kind of criteria is with regards to vaccination. Are people going to need those kind of vaccination passports to be able to get in, that kind of thing? So I don't know. Then you have like Isle of Wight that pushed back to September. That seems a bit more realistic, I think. So, I mean, I hope and pray that we can get back to live music as soon as possible, and as safe as possible, obviously, as well.
Of course, but, of course. Will you be going to festivals this summer?
I'd like to hope so. I mean, my husband, you know, being in editors and also with this project, Smith & Burroughs, he's got festivals booked in this summer in mainland Europe. And you know, if he's going, I'm going.
Yeah, no, but did I hear that normally you and the kids would tag along, but that your husband Tom has asked for a bit of man time this summer when he goes on tour?
Not happening.
Really?
No, he did actually. No, because he's got a project that he's going to work in that he's going to need to go into studio with the band to do some work, and before I even got the chance to gauge, test the water of go, should we go? I go, I think this is one for you to just go and get some you time on this one.
Okay.
But with the festivals, we love just kind of jumping on the bus and meeting him wherever he is and touring around with him for a week or so. The kids love it. It's a great way of them seeing, you know, other parts of the world and learning about different cultures, really.
Ah, yeah, I'd say so. Great, great old life. It's the dream for any kids, really, isn't it? To a bit of that in their lives. Is it hard having a rock musician in a house during a pandemic? Like, was he a bit like a caged animal, or did he cope all right?
Do you know what? He was absolutely amazing. I mean, it's all about teamwork, really. But I've got to say that his mum and dad were both teachers. They're retired teacher. And he's definitely got a bit of the teacher gene in him, because he was amazing at the homeschooling. So I would have been lost if it had just been me trying to do that. But no, and then, you know, it's lovely because he's been writing at the house. So we've had constant music blaring out of his studio when he's had time to work. So that's been kind of really nice. But I think definitely now he's definitely ready to get back out on the road.
Yeah. But you were kind of lucky, didn't you? Move to the country kind of just right at the beginning when lockdown started, didn't you? Which was a good move, wasn't it?
I know. I mean, timing was impeccable, really. We've been talking about it for a while. You know, we're out close to where his mum and dad is and where he grew up, really. It's not that far. It's like an hour on the train into London. But we talked about it for years, and then we just, the summer before last, just decided, let's do it. We found a house and then moved just before Christmas. And then we were here for, 2 months? And then we were in lockdown. So it was good timing, just in terms of us having some space and, you know, being able to get out and get some fresh air and do a bit more of that than we would have had we still been in London, really.
Yeah, absolutely. That, of course, that is it's the rock star trajectory, isn't it? That you end up at a house, a very big house in the country and a fish farm and all that kind of things.
I mean, we've grown a few potatoes. That's probably about
Yeah. All right. So you're not quite at Alex James level yet of cheese making.
No cheese has been made yet.
Okay. Yeah, you'll get there. We'll talk. Listen, if these lockdowns continue, we'll talk to you next year. You could be cheese making by then. Now, listen, you have a podcast series, Soundtracking, and over 200 episodes now. 4 million listens. And it's a really good idea. So you basically look at the music used in films, but you talk to the directors or the composers or the actors about it.
Yeah, I just really wanted to start a conversation about music and film. You know, we all have grown up with films, whether it's the score or those songs that we recognise that are in the film. And I just felt like there wasn't really a conversation being had about it. So, yeah, I launched it back in 2016 and we've been releasing an episode every week. It's called Soundtracking with Edith Bowman. And yeah, I speak to kind of whoever's around and I never wanted it to feel inaccessible for people. You know, I'm a film fan. I'm not a critic. I'm not a journalist. I'm a broadcaster. I come at everything with a kind of fan attitude. So, you know, one week we might have John Favreau or Bradley Cooper on talking about Jungle Book or A Star Is Born, or the next week we might have a brand new composer who's worked on his first film, but it's a film that we really love. For example, Saint Maud, which has been nominated for loads of things this year and won a few things already. And Adam, who did his first score for that film, and we just wanted to enthuse about his work. And so, yeah, it's every episode's very unique and very different and features lots of different music that we then create a Spotify playlist for every episode so people can listen to the music from each one. But I love it. It's my proper pride and joy. And I'm so grateful for it during lockdown as well. So I've been able to do it every week.
Yeah, of course. I bet. Yeah. It's funny how even putting aside scores and stuff, the right song and the right scene or the right collection of music in a film can make the film. I'm supposed like, Trainspotting being the classic example of it for our kind of generation.
Reservoir Dogs with Tarantino, you know, all that stuff. Yeah.
What's your favourite, do you think? What's the great soundtrack?
Oh, man. I mean, I grew up with John Williams, you know, all those films, Star Wars and E.T. and all that kind of Indiana Jones and things. But more recently, I'm a massive fan. And I watched it again. It was on telly the other night, Interstellar, the Christopher Nolan film that Hans Zimmer did the score.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. But I think for me, when it comes to needle drops and things in films most recently, and this is something my kids have absolutely obsessed with over lockdown, is the Guardians of the Galaxy films, because they have all that, you know, watching my 8-year-old wander around the house going, ooga chugga, ooga chugga, I can't stop this. It's brilliant. So it's a great way of introducing kids to, you know, music that's not part of their generation, you know. So my kids have been introduced to so many amazing things through the use of it in film, which can only be a healthy thing, I think.
Totally, absolutely, yeah, because we don't want them listening to all that rubbish they're listening to. So we're at that age now, where a lot of it's starting to sound like noise to us. I am, certainly. You're probably not there yet. You'll get there soon. But listen, you introduced them to soundtracks early on, because your husband did it or you did it? Was it Tom made a soundtrack for the births of the two boys?
Yeah, so it wasn't a soundtrack. It was just a playlist. So he put together, because I knew I had to have C-sections because of a health thing. And so Tom's like, I'll make a list of some tunes that we can have on in the background, you know, take our mind off it. So, yeah, he made a playlist for when Rudy was born, who's going to be 13 in June. And then we used the same playlist for when Spike. So they both came out to different things. Rudy was Into My Arms by Nick Cave and Spike was Sigur Rós. So, yeah, highly recommend it if anybody is about to give birth.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Keep everybody calm. You obviously get to watch a lot of TV and films and stuff in the course of your work. We're just easing in now to our kind of culture panel and picks and stuff for the week ahead. Have you any picks, things we mightn't have come across or heard about that you'd recommend?
There's a brilliant show, or I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of it, but it's written and stars Eugene and Dan Levy. Second word is Creek.
We can say Schitt's Creek because we're saying S-C-H-I-T-T-S, can't we? So yeah, Schitt's Creek. I'll say it again.
Schitt's Creek. I'm coming a bit late to it, but we're on the fifth season now and I'm slightly obsessive about this. I've just, I mean, I loved Catherine and Eugene before, but obviously Dan, that I've been introduced to, just become slightly obsessed with him and following him on Instagram and watching his every move. And I'd love to get him on Soundtracking. But that is an amazing show. It's just, it's one of those ones as well. It's not an instant. You've got to stick with it for a few episodes. But I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, everybody keeps telling me that, and I can't get it. But maybe I'll give it another go. I'll give a few more of them a go. Yeah, okay.
It's so good. And then film-wise, there's so many great things out with the minute. We just had Steve McQueen on this week's episode of Soundtracking, and we had a guest pop in as well, Dennis Lavelle, who wrote and produced Silly Games. Remember that track from 40 years ago with Janet Kay doing the vocal and hitting that massive?
No, I don't. No.
I've been watching you for so very long. I'm not going to sing the whole thing to you.
Keep going. I'll get it. Keep going.
What you need to do is watch Steve McQueen's Small Axe series, because there's five films, and in one of those films, Lovers Rock, the song features very heavily. All those films are extraordinary. There's five of them.
Yeah, I've been meaning to give them a go. Yeah,
they are. I mean, I think they're a very important collection of films in terms of the things that I learned about, you know, our history and West Indian history and what they've done for the country as well since they arrived in the UK. And so I think they're very important films. So those
How youth culture and culture is threaded through it as well, isn't
absolutely.
It? Yeah. And
yeah,
listen, Edith, briefly before you go, the Grammys are on tonight and we're kind of excited here because obviously Fontaines DC from Dublin are up against The Strokes and others for Best Album. Just quickly, what would you be tipping for tonight?
Well, I'd love to see Fontaines win. I saw them at Transmit, it wouldn't be last summer, the summer before. And there's a couple of film things up, actually. Jojo Rabbit, Taika Waititi's film's up for music for visual media. I'd love to see that win. And also Joker is up for best score for visual media, which I thought was the most amazing thing as well. So I'd love to see that. And I'd like to see Dua Lipa pick up something, because I think she's an amazing artist.
Absolutely. And it's been her year in many ways, hasn't it? Well, Taylor Swift's year and her year. Okay, listen, Edith Bowman, great to talk to you. And that podcast is called Soundtracking. Thank you, Edith. And we'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.